Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Bobby Moore as a Jeff Hurst, the Trevor Brooking and Billy Bones, a Paolo Di Canio, a West Ham United. We celebrate our victories, we stick together in defeat. I'm proud of our history, the West Ham United, more than just a podcast. More than just a
Good afternoon, good evening, or good morning. This is more than just a podcast. Season 10, episode 13. And we've got the whole crew. We're a fair weather forecast, which means we have a full house when something amazing happens. Back is Georgie George.
Hello,
where are
Sean.
You? What are you doing?
Hello, Sean. I am at home recording a podcast with you.
And his father, Johnny John, where are you? What are you doing?
I am in my loft talking to the extended group of podcasters.
Excellent. We also have Lenny Len. Len, where are you? What are you doing?
I'm in the living room doing a podcast with you fellas. Five of us.
And last but not least, he's 7 minutes late, but he got here in the end. Two failed computers. Can't spell. It's Shedman. Where are you? What are you doing, Nigel?
I'm in my shed.
Record-breaking
episode. A record-breaking episode.
Why? Why is it record-breaking?
Well, it's possibly the first time you've had five people.
We've had five
no,
on.
No, I think
before.
we had
a few weeks ago, didn't we?
No, I don't think
pretty
we
did. I'm pretty sure.
Shut up.
Anyway, it's been a good day. I have spent the day taking the piss out of Spurs fans, and I loved it. I've absolutely loved it. I'll tell you what, I just want to start with this small clip. It's not a Spurs podcast, but I just want to start with this small clip.
Hotspur.
We're back,
another
people.
Quick transition.
Tottenham Hotspur are officially back.
Word. Unbelievable.
The rest of the Premier League are fearing us.
Tottenham. Son, three is our wide for regular.
Mancini!
Oh,
no,
it's great, them two.
We are Tottenham TV podcast or stream, that is. Those blokes are absolutely infamous today, giving it large when they were 3-0 up after 16 minutes, which I think was a record for Spurs for like for 13 years. And then West Ham broke their own record by scoring three goals in 8 minutes, the first Premier League side to be 3-0 down on the 81st minute and come back 3-3. Sorry, spoiler alert, we drew with Spurs 3-3. George, let's start with you. Did you enjoy that?
I did. I very much did. It was the first time in a long time that a football match has got me out of my seat. And when that goal went in at the end, I was all over the living room. But yeah, it was very good. The first half, I think we were talking about just before we came on air that you know, it wasn't what we expected, but it was accepted. You know, I didn't feel that gutted when we went down so quickly three goals, because you know, it's happened before. We've seen it before. we've been let down like this before. So I was just like, all right then. And when we got to half time, 3-0 down, as we talked about just then, I considered turning over. Luckily, I didn't. I didn't
put a film on. Yeah, shocking thing to do.
Who would do that? But yeah, I didn't. I stuck with it and I was rewarded. And the rest is history. And it was a special moment in a.
Where'd you put it up there? I mean, some people overreact and said best game ever. Some people are even talking about the goal being similar to Paolo Di Canio's scissor kick against Wimbledon. And I was going, "Well, calm down there." Where do you put it as a goal and a result?
Off the top of my head, it's got to be up there in terms of who it was against and how it came about and the quality of the goal. I think that there's been probably more important goals in our history that have had more of an impact. But yeah, it's definitely up there in recent memory for me as one of the best goals and best moments as a whole.
Good, good. Let's talk to your father. John, were you dancing around the living room?
I wasn't quite dancing, though.
Did you jump? Did you do your back in?
No, I didn't do either of those. But, yeah, I mean, I did stay with it and I did watch it. And, you know, as we were talking about, you know, we kind of accepted it. And I know we had a group cell talking about, I'll put out there, what will the scores be? And we were talking fives and whatever at the beginning. And we just, yeah, it was just unexpected, but absolutely incredible to watch. And really,
I'm sure Nigel's going to tell us he said 3-2, which we all laughed at him. Well, I said 5-0 against us, but
they went to three.
We'll talk to one of the others. Talk to us about the first half. What went wrong?
Well, obviously they came out all guns blazing, though we did start all right, and then they got the ball and broke and scored the goal. It just shows you the quality of their finishing. Really,
we had a good 15 seconds.
Yeah, well, it's
45 seconds. You've got to blame the defenders, haven't you? That we didn't set up right. You know, we've had two clean sheets.
Our brainer looked like he was going to get rinsed every time. He's obviously struggles for a bit of pace, and against pace, you could see it. They could get at him, but I think there was a little bit of confusion going on at the beginning. I think Kufau, whatever you're going to call him, seemed to be up quite high up a lot and left that side open. But, you know, I thought we had a good 30 seconds and then they scored. So,
second goal, Harry Kane, what was it, 8 minutes or something?
Yeah, double nutmeg. It was just
double nutmeg. You're right. I've just remembered that. He went through the legs of Kufau and was it Rice?
I think it was Rice and Ogbonna.
Rice and Ogbonna.
Yeah.
Well, Ogbonna, you're right. Yeah. Double nutmeg.
Again, it was just quality finishing.
You just said you're going to call Sufau. Then you just called him Kufau. And called Ogbonna Ogbonna.
Ogbonna.
Anyway.
Oggy.
And then obviously their third was, that was a really good delivery for their third and great header. And you're just fearing the worst, weren't you? But sort of hoping for the best. But
Kane always scores against us. And Son is, you know, he's pretty special.
He's a good player.
And they didn't finish off the game, really. You know, they should have got four. When did Kane hit the woodwork? Was that in the second half?
About 70 before, and then Bale got through, didn't he? But you know, it was all there for them. And you know, even when we got our first goal, Balbuena, great header, and you know, the keeper didn't even move, and you're sort of thinking, oh, there you go, at least it's not a clean sheet for them. And then we get the own goal. I mean, you've got to praise, you know, Yarmolenko's part in that. You know, he made a difference, and the substitutes.
Well, he put off Gareth. We're talking about Gareth Bale in a minute in the second half.
He threw himself at him, didn't he?
Yeah, for his free ball. His part in the second goal was integral. You know, Lanzini did what he did, but you know, it just proves the worth of getting those subs on there. I mean, I do think the Yarmolenko made a large contribution to the turnaround.
Yeah.
And I was just like, you know, even when we got the second goal, you're sort of hoping, but it doesn't normally happen to us, does it? We're not, you know, it's going
to
be another one of those.
Let's move on to Len to talk about the second half. Len?
Well,
talk us through the second half.
Talk you through the second half?
Yeah.
Well, first of all, I think it was a fantastic way to spend International Gareth Bale Day, because it seemed what it was all about.
You're being polite. A lot of other people called it the Gareth Bale Wank Fest.
Well, okay. If they want it, you know. It was, wasn't it?
Take it down to that level, they can,
yeah.
Sure.
Yeah.
I'll take it down to that level, but that's what some people called it.
Yeah. I was saying earlier, I wasn't too dismayed when we went 1-0 down, because I thought that was a world-class ball by
Harry Kane.
Harry Kane, that's it. It was Harry Kane. To put it in a place where it was just too short for the goalie to come out, and it beat Balbuena. And I think at any time in the match, that's a goal just because of that cross. Of course, you've got Son on the other end of it. And Tottenham played well. But what it comes down to, isn't it? They got the goals from their three first chances. And we got our goals from our last three chances. So I thought that was quite fair. But you did ask about the second half, didn't you? So
I did.
I wasn't too disappointed with the first half, other than the scoreline. But the second half,
you wouldn't say they had the better first half. But forget the goals; they outplayed us for most of the first half.
No,
yeah, I don't think.
In my view, they did. You get your word in a minute, Nigel.
Got their first goal, that's why, and then they just want to sit back. We both wanted to be behind the ball, I assumed. So whoever strikes blood first, as the advantage, really. When there's three of them, that's a massive advantage. So it was very entertaining to see. And a lot of people were saying that Tottenham took their foot off the gas. We were always had attacking threat. And it paid off in the second half. There was nothing too spectacular, but we're getting players forward better now. Soufal and Creswell's getting more room to get forward now, and it's working well, and it's paying off again. And every time there's a set piece now, I've got so much more confidence than I used to, because we've got so much threat in the air. Suchek, especially, even when the ball doesn't go into him, he can still cause trouble. Release player. I thought they should have dealt with it a little bit better for our first goal, which was we took the goal well. For our second goal,
who scored our first goal? Do you remember then?
Yeah, Balbuena.
Yeah,
and the only goal was just put in the right place, and then that really shook them up. And then when we earned that set piece from Snodgrass. And when we got that free kick, I was feeling a little...
Sanchez's own goal, wasn't it? But yeah, Soufal was just behind him, wasn't he? So if he hadn't have cleared it...
Bowen was just behind.
Bowen was just behind.
Is it Soufal? Bowen?
Oh, Bowen, right. Yeah.
I had a 1 in 11 chance again, right?
Well, you did.
Soufal put the ball in.
Yeah. And then Sanchez put that in.
You could hear literally the one play you probably shouldn't have said.
Yeah. Well, I could have said Fabianski, and that would be way off.
You sound as if you didn't even see it.
Yeah, you didn't. Did you even watch the game, Sean?
I did. I'll make a mission because I know you'll just grass me up. I watched the first half. I watched a film because I sort of got upset and thought this is going to go nowhere. And I had my alerts on. And when we scored on the 82nd minute, I then switched back to my stream and still managed to watch the goal because it's about 2 minutes behind. I managed to watch from 82 minutes to the end of the game. So I didn't miss any goals, boys, but no. All right. Let's move over to Nigel, because I'm sure he's going to give us the purest football view of the game rather than the emotional response that we've shared so far.
Well, I'd like to say shame on you.
Yeah, absolutely.
Shame on you, Sean Whetstone.
Why?
turning your back on the team. It's typical of you, to be fair. I don't know why I'm surprised. But I can't believe that you got to sit and watch the game. Surely, come on.
I wasn't enjoying it. I wasn't feeling the love when we're 3-0 down at half-time.
You're a West Ham? See, this is the thing. You tell West Ham, well, I'm not a glory hunter. I don't support West Ham to glory. I don't support West Ham like thinking. So what are you supporting West Ham for then?
It's calling full-time on United.
No, seriously. Yeah, what are you supporting West Ham for? Because if that's your attitude...
Look, there's plenty of games I have stuck it out, including when we were losing.
Oh, there you go then. That's all right. There you go.
I was at home. It was easier to switch over a channel. No, watch it ain't.
You don't do that.
I was listening in sort of the background having a sort of...
luck would have it, you turn it on just before we score.
No, not luck would have it. I get one football... and then I know that if anything happened, I could switch on the stream. And maybe that's a bad idea because it tells me if any goals come.
You got the goal alert, and then you switched it on.
Yeah.
Oh, right. So you didn't see all the goals in. So you missed the first one. Well, no, because hold up. You can't get an alert and switch the telly on after you got an alert to goal and then sit there and watch the goal.
Yeah, because the one football alert comes out immediately and my stream is 2 minutes behind, so I can. I've got 2 minutes between the goal alert and seeing the goal. Anyway, it's not about digging me out, podcast.
Well, it is about. Well, you're the one who opened your mouth up and turned around and said, I didn't watch the game. I switched it over.
I apologise. You watched it. Tell us about it. Tell us about the game.
Do you know what? My missus never sits in the room with me when I'm watching football.
Christ for that.
For the start of the game, she was in the living room and I said, well, look, I'm putting football on. She's like, all right. She was playing a game on her phone.
Was it Pumpkin Smash?
No, it wasn't. Because if you let me know, I'll let her get in there.
All right.
Anyway, the game kicks off. Blah, 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 blah. 45 seconds, goal. And I looked at Charlie, the boy, and I said to him, that's it. The dream's over after 45 seconds. Where my missus goes, know how they feel. 7 minutes.
Well, all over in 45 seconds.
Yeah, all over. The dream's over in 45 seconds. The second goal goes in 7 minutes. And she said, I've never had it twice in 7 minutes. They should be lucky. And now that off she goes and out she goes. I thought, thank you very much. If you're going to be 3-0 down, if you're going to be 3-0 down, let's be 3-0 down with still, you know, an hour and 15 minutes of the game to go to do something about it. Once we got 3-0 down, there was good effort from the team. The mark of a good manager for me is how they can change things in the second half. Moyes did it by his usual way. I'm sitting there going, I know he don't like to make a sub, but when you're 3-0 down, you know, you've got to bring two people on at half time. You've got to do something. But obviously, the way he saw it, it was three setbacks, and the people were playing to what he wanted and carrying out the instructions of what he wanted. He finally makes the subs, and then you have 8 minutes of madness. But, you know, that... The ability, West Ham's always had that ability to do that. You know, we've done it a fair few times, you know, as I pointed out to you boys. You know, it can happen. We can do it. Don't worry. You know, and as luck would have it, we did.
We had a bit of luck, though. I mean...
Well, you need this bit of luck, you know, but it makes people like me really smug.
3-0 down. Kane hits the woodwork. Bale comes on. I mean, to be honest, Jose didn't need to bring Bale on. That was all right to please the crowds. He could have bought another defender and closed the game down.
Please the crowd.
Well, you know, the audience, TV audience.
Can I tell you something funny about that? And generally, you boys might back me up. They seem to turn the volume up at a fake crowd when Bale came on.
They did. They did do that.
But, I'm sitting there, I know, literally laughed my head off. Said, they've turned the fake crowd noise up loud.
But that was for when he came on in the global TV audience. As a sub.
They yeah. did, yeah.
On his 600 grand a year, a
come
week.
Come on, you Spurs, or whatever it was.
Yeah.
Did he fluff his, he was, you know, one-on-one with a keeper.
92nd minute.
One-on-one with a keeper. I mean, was that Yarmolenko or was that a crap shot by...
I think it was probably a bit of both. I think he
crap shot, he scuffed it.
He hasn't played football in a long time, has he? And he made that chance, to be fair. His footwork to get around the defender was really good. But then Yarmolenko did throw himself at him in front of that. And I'm sure that put him off. But then he did scuff his shot as well. So it was a bit of both.
Yeah.
I'm sure it'll come good, but it was genius.
Just a stat attack.
The way it worked.
51% for Spurs, 49% for West Ham. Spurs had 11 shots. 6 on target. West Ham had 13 shots, 4 on target. So not a lot to choose between the two sides on stats. Did Lanzini mean that, Nigel, at the end? Or did he get a bit lucky, as some people have suggested?
Well, no. Listen, if you run up and hit the ball, you're shooting to score, aren't you?
Of course you
are. At the end of the day. Of course he meant, you know, did he mean to put it in the thing? But what made that goal even better for me was that Lloris got his hand to it. And I'll tell you why. Because if you're the goalkeeper and that goal goes in, normally you'll go, oh, there's nothing I can do about it. So you sort of bow yourself out of it in a way. But he got his hand to it, so he will be going, oh,
it was the wrong hand, though, if you listen to Graham Souness, the goalkeeping expert.
Yeah, yeah.
Goalkeeping expert.
He's gone with the right hand now. When you dive into your left, you got your right arm up. You know, not that I was ever a world expert at goalkeeper, hence why I played on Monster Flats. But that's the way I always did it. And normally they ended up in the back of the goal anyway. So even if I got my hand to it like Lloris. But it just, I hope it really eats him up. I hope Lloris will sit there and be absolutely... Goalkeepers union, yes, there is, except for the Spurs goalkeepers. I'm happy to laugh at them.
Do you know, so, Spurs fans are sad. I mean, we've been winding up. Spurs fans, cup, you know, myself and John, but I've been winding people up at work. They always say, you know, oh, it's your cup final, but do you know what? Oh, I can't believe you're celebrating a draw. But do you know what? It really hurt them. This really hurt them, as we saw from the clip. And they're fine ones. If you go on the Spurs club shop, they still sell a DVD. You can get for £3. Spurs show up
before we go there. Yeah. We as a club had mugs and T-shirts made when we bought Spurs three times in the season.
But I'm just saying
you
can't better than
throw,
us.
You can't throw stones like that because we've embarrassed
ourselves. No, I'm not throwing stones. I'm saying, of course we celebrate this draw, and I'm proud of it. And we've celebrated a draw once before against Chelsea when we had the false nine. But let's be honest. Don't try and, you know, the North London Minnows are just as bad because they did the same when they...
I'm saying that. And where the Tottenham fans... And when people have a go at you and say, oh, you celebrated a draw like a win, what they're neglecting is when you're 3-0 down into the 81st minute, you've got every right to celebrate.
Too right.
A draw. When the final goal is as good as that, I think, for me, that's... probably in the top five of West Ham's Premier League goals.
Wow.
Not for what it was, where it was, and whatever. It ain't better than the Canio's. Yeah. And
no, of course
I think Trevor Sinclair did an absolute wonder goal. And Cotty, Cotty's was First Division, weren't Premier League. So you try and remember, Andy Carroll, Payette got a couple.
Yeah.
But that's as good as any goal.
It's a good one.
Yeah, that Payette has scored.
Jose Mourinho said we were lucky, but...
Did he?
You know, wished him. Yeah, he said we were lucky.
I think he did. Not in the interview.
I didn't see that. I thought he gave us credit.
Yeah.
Afterwards, he said we were lucky.
He didn't say that in that context, Sean. He didn't say West Ham were lucky.
Sean was watching a film at the time, Lenny.
Yeah, exactly.
No, I've got it. I've got his transcript of what he said. He said, that's football.
Yeah, well, that's in the transcript. He might have said West Ham were lucky, but he didn't. He did give us credit.
He did say that Souček is David Moyes' new Fellaini, which I found amusing.
Say that.
Yeah. And it's look, we shouldn't. It's a good result, and I felt good all day. I felt happy all day.
Well, the best thing for me is that, you know, you go to work and that, and everybody was talking about it and was laughing about it, because everybody hates Spurs. No matter who they support, all around where I am, everyone supports like every other London club than West Ham, but not many support Spurs, and everyone hates Spurs. And it just made everyone laugh.
John and myself, we belong to a curry club, and we managed to bait our Spurs friend on that, who never usually takes the bait, does he? But he did last night, didn't he?
Well, you particularly like to.
I like to bait
you. You like to sort of cheer when we look like we're going to win, and then we inevitably lose, Sean. So
we all know that Sean is a master baiter, so he probably
would. Anyway.
Well, the big question is, Sean, though.
Go on.
Did you watch the end of the film?
Yeah, so it's 2067. It's a really good film. I recommend you watch it.
Have we won the league by then?
Yeah. But you know what? I just want to remind you, last week's podcast, I said we can beat anyone on our day, and this was the start of something special. And I wrote a blog called Is This the Start of Something Special? Because someone close to David Moyes said this could be the start of something special. And I agree with him. I think we can beat Man City.
Can we draw with anyone on our day then as well? Then?
And we can go on. We can draw or beat Man City, and we can go on and beat or draw against Liverpool. There you go. I think this is the start of something special. Europe, here we come.
Okay.
Anyway, that's our happy.
Okay,
just an injury update. Obviously, Antonio was pulled off on the 77th minute. I don't know if you saw. But
he was all wrapped up. It was
wrapped up in ice. When I spoke to the club this morning, I ran a story. They got a little bit upset and went, this is standard procedure, Sean. You know, they always, apparently, because of his hammies, they always strap him up with ice when he comes off. Tells you a bit about his hammies,
they
maybe.
They strap him up after they pulled him off. Is that common?
They strap him up after they pull him off. They strap him up with ice and bandage him up.
I pull him off
and ice. I'm told this morning that he's fine, he's got no injuries, and he'll be fit for Saturday lunchtime against Man City. And Allaire, who missed the bench due to a little knock, he trained on Saturday, he picked up a
fall off
knock.
He missed the bench.
He missed the bench. he's back in training.
No wonder he can't get in the first team if he's shooting that bad.
he's back in training, and he'll be available on Saturday as well. So we've got a full squad, actually. And of course, Barama will be available as well.
He's a right Barama.
Huh?
Yeah, what'd you call him?
Benrahma. So Benrahma's wasn't registered in time for Sunday. He is available next week. I don't think he's... I mean, David Moyes has said he's not going to go straight in there. So let's just talk about the end of the transfer window, and I'm just going to get your feedback on him as a signing. But let me just give you a little bit of background, because a lot went on transfer day. You know, we heard, you know, we signed Craig Dawson. We, as a backup, after talking about all different kind of targets, and Benrahma was signed... Josh King was on standby. He travelled to London in case he needs to do a medical. He hasn't signed. He didn't sign for anyone in the end. He could still join us in January, I'm told. By then, he's only got 6 months with Bournemouth. But Benrahma was due to join us on a 5.5-year contract with us paying 25 million, 5 million of extras. And he passed his physical medical. David Moyes was right on that. But he had a blood test, and those results, he was due to be announced on Friday at 9 o'clock. And his blood test results come through, and the whole thing's put in absolute disarray. You know, it was reported by Darren Lewis in The Mirror, and it's correct. It was a blood screening test. As David Moyes said, it's confidential. It's a medically confidential issue, and I don't think we need to talk about it. But it did enough that it gave us doubt not to sign him on a 5.5-year contract. So to save the deal, and to be fair to Brentford as well, we did a deal where we paid just over £4 million loan fee. we've got another £21 million obligation to buy as long as the thing that come up is not a problem by the end of the season. That's the only obligation. We don't, it doesn't matter if we get relegated, etc. We've got an obligation to buy if the problem that was seen doesn't materialise. And there's another £5 million of extras. He's tripled his wages from 15 grand to 45. He's a happy man. And do you know what? He looked happy, brought his mum along, and he looks genuinely happy to sign for the Premier League. And I think he's going to be turn out to be a really good buy, actually. We shall see. Let's start with you, John. Good buy? Bad buy? Were you a King man or a Benrahma?
I wasn't either particularly, and I'm kind of indifferent about Benrahma. He's just, I've watched because we again know someone who's a Brentford fan,
we do.
And I've sort of gone out of my way a bit to keep an eye on him last season, just to see if he was as good as they sing. And like our mate Matt, he's said that he's hot and cold, but on his day he can. And particularly during the playoffs, I didn't think he was particularly hot.
He went missing the playoffs. But, he scored 17 goals and 11 assists or whatever, you know, in the championship. You know,
he's... Yeah, I mean, he's another
he's
one.
He's a playmaker.
You know, hopefully they can coach him and he can improve and, you know, be a great signing. I mean, I hope for the best. I wish him well. But, you know, and I still go back to the fact that, you know, Dean Garner was tearing up trees in the championship last season and we already had him for less money. And it
different kind of player, I hear, though. It's not a left winger for a left winger.
Not massively, I wouldn't say massively different, when we particularly are struggling for strikers. I mean, I understand what Nigel was saying last week about the resale value and all that, but going back to balancing an unbalanced squad, we've now brought in another player in an area that we don't necessarily need what we really could have done with a striker.
Yeah.
And I wasn't surprised that we didn't get Josh King because there was a lot of salt house involvement in the other buy and we all know what goes on there. And
well, salt house was involved in obviously Craig Dawson and quickly from you before we move on, Craig Dawson didn't even make the bench this week.
Well, yeah, he's
choice centre back as cover.
He's another decent enough defender, but he's no better than what we've particularly got. And so overall, when we're looking about having an unbalanced squad, I don't quite get that signing of Benrahma.
Yeah.
Apart from,
okay, fair enough.
If it clicks, it'd be worth a lot of money.
Yeah,
and
yeah.
There's the sort house connection. There's a sort house connection, and it looks like a Sullivan pick. So. Mm-hmm. I can understand it on that basis.
I was told that initially David Moyes wanted King, but he came round to the idea of Benrahma. He had to sanction it. You know, it wasn't forced on him.
He might do what he's done with Antonio and Arnautovic and put him up front, and he might, you know. Yeah. But
he could be a striker.
I'm not disappointed, and I hope he does really well, but not my pick.
That's five of us. Let's move to Georgie George. Goodbye, bad bye, indifferent.
I'm more on the goodbye if we didn't have the background of what we have in terms of him coming in replacing Dean Garner, like similar to what John said. Mm-hmm. We were told that we got rid of Dean Garner because we had too many wingers, and then we brought in another winger.
Yeah.
So it's
said though? Did you hear what David Moyes said?
What bit? I don't know.
He explained it by saying, I know I said I had too many wingers, it was unbalanced, but he said we didn't expect to get rid of Philippe Anderson at the time. So when Philippe Anderson went, I then had a space in my squad to replace him with a midfielder.
Right. Well, I was going to make comparisons to Philippe Anderson because, you know, he came in, was supposed to be a really exciting prospect and, you know, was very, very hot and cold and more cold than never hot. I think Benrahma's probably a bit of a similar player, unproven in the Premier League as well. But
you know, I hope he, I do think he's got a bit of the Riyad Mahrez about him, and obviously being Algerian, there's a connection there, and I hope he comes through like that. You know, Mahrez was an unknown when he came into Leicester, and he's torn it up since. So let's hope he goes in the same way. I'm excited to see him play for us. I think he's got a lot of talent, and he's an exciting player. I just hope he's more hot than cold.
Hmm. Len.
Hello, mate.
Barama Rama.
Well, I'm kind of pleased we got him. Looking forward to seeing him. He didn't come on, did he, weekend? He didn't. It wasn't.
No, he wasn't registered in time. You have to be registered by 12 o'clock, and we had to put a deal sheet in and Len, didn't sign him till just before 7 o'clock.
Were you watching a film with Sean, Len?
No, but I was just trying to recall if I might have missed him coming on at one point.
boom, boom. That's a brush for those who don't know what that is.
Yeah. I'm not really going to comment too much about the medical and stuff like that. Do we know if it was Moyes' first choice or?
Well, I think it wasn't. Originally, Moyes wanted King, and then he changed his mind, and he's allowed to do that. There was all conspiracy theories that this is all about Will Salthouse, and they didn't really fail in the medical, and this was just a way of David Sullivan. Look, all of you know the reason why. And as David Moyes said, it's medically confidential. You know, let's just let the guy play his football and prove everyone that he's, you know, he was worth the gamble. You know, let his football do the talking.
Yeah, okay. I think Moyes is going to have to, he might be coached into a more hard-working player and he could be the real deal. We have to wait and see, won't we?
Yeah. Lanzini's back. Lanzini's back.
Which is it. I'm quite level-headed when it comes to sort of players. I didn't think we needed a lot of strengthening. I know people always on, you know, say, spend some money. I don't think you can hold that against the club too much. I think they do spend the money. They waste it. I grant you that.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I'm looking forward to seeing him.
Good. Last but not least, words of wisdom from Shebman. What do you make of the end of the transfer window?
We had some fun, didn't we?
Oh dear.
It makes another good week for me and my diary on West Ham till I die on Thursday.
Oh, the meltdowns on Twitter.
So it just makes it, doesn't it? I must admit, it is difficult, though. I don't know about how the others feel. Sometimes, you know, we're in a unique position, perhaps, where we sort of get the inside track a little bit better than most people. So, therefore, when you see people and their wild theories about what's going on, you know, it's hard sometimes for me to keep out of it. And I sort of jumped on a few people who were really wild with their theories and everything. And it is mad because if you look back at it, it does make me look like I'm pro-GSB. And the reason
I dug you out for that.
Yeah. And this is the thing, because people are blaming them for stuff that's totally out of their control. You know, and I tweeted it out, and I've used it in my article with the story about Frank Worthington signing for Liverpool, which you can all read on Thursday, the story behind it, about when Frank Worthington signed for Liverpool. Of course, if you look through his career, you'll see he never played for Liverpool because there's a story behind it. But it's what happens in medicals. People fail medicals. If he failed a medical and we signed him flat out, and it turns out it's going to be, you know, a big, whatever it is, won't go into it. But people will scream left, right and centre, why did they do it? So, you know, not that they're in a no-win situation. I get it, some people, you know, I did point out to one bloke, you know, you're blinded by their lies. And I dug back at him and said, no, you're blinded by their hatred. And what I was trying to say to people is, you can dislike them, you can want them to leave the club. That's what I am. But don't be blinded by hatred.
Because, I agree.
Because that actually is what there's so many. Yeah, there's so many. They look so normal in their pictures on Twitter. And yet they, it's like they have a lobotomy on the way into Twitter, put it on the side table, rant like frigging lunatics, come off Twitter, put the brain back in, and they rejoin society. I don't know what it is about Twitter. I love, in a way, I do love, you know, people watch it.
I had a lot of enjoyment on Twitter. I know. I'm trying to stay off, but I did have fun winding up the negatives from the last week.
You know, so there's that to it. I said last week, my finest hour, apparently, people, last week. Well, when a Sony Award-winning broadcast journalist says that about you, you're going to have a big head. I'm sorry. So I said what I said about Ben Rama. I'm pleased that we've signed him. Good. You know, I don't, you know, do I'm bothered we didn't sign defenders? Not really, because goals are fun, people. We proved that at the weekend.
It'd be nice. About another striker, Nige?
About another striker? Well,
look, he could be a striker, though, John, no, as you just said. Thing.
The bits I've seen of him, to be fair, which is only YouTube, and it's no, you know, whatever, and the playoff final, which he was really disappointing in. Against Fulham, but he can play as like the number 10 or
he can,
you know, a central role. I don't see him as a winger, to be fair.
It does say on his transfer market, his secondary position is striker.
Oh, it must be true.
Winger. Yeah. Left winger, right winger, central.
Sean's footballing knowledge is about as limited as the transfer market.
Moyes turned Arnautović into a striker. Moyes has turned Antonio into a striker. Why can't he turn Benrahma into a striker?
He could do. Funny enough, he's got Yarmolenko there, who plays up front for the Ukraine, and he's second in the Ukrainian all-time goal-scoring international list.
Isn't that true?
Behind Shevchenko. But obviously,
maybe we could turn Masuaku into a striker.
Masuaku?
No. No,
Masuaku's doing well where he's playing right now.
Anyway,
well, Sean wouldn't know because obviously he was watching the film at the time.
Oh, piss off. John, can I ask you, did you drive David Gold off of Twitter to protect his tweets?
How would I have done that?
I don't know. You sent me a link earlier that he's protected his tweets.
I say that's one way of stopping the grief, is what I
did. What did
blocking
you say
out the haters?
He's done something with his account. Well, I don't even know how you do that. No, but he's done something.
I can tell you how you do it. It's basically on a tweet by tweet basis. So as you're about to tweet something out, you can actually click on the tweet and restrict who you want reply. To answer. So actually, you can have no one can reply. So you can just tweet it out as information.
Look, he hasn't done that. Someone else has done that.
Yeah.
When John told me the other day, Pete posted a random picture of Craig Dawson, we had to tell him how to delete it. So I don't think he's quite up with the...
Well, I only picked that up because he gets so much grief, and that was they'd signed him the day before or something to tweet. Every time he goes on, he gets so much grief. Why would you...
Yeah, I don't know why he does it. I don't think...
Maybe he doesn't even... I'll talk to him. I don't know. Maybe he's not even tweeting. Maybe he's got a PR doing it.
What does he get out of Twitter? I mean, my aim when he first joined the club, you know, my aim was to get him off.
He was going to come off, he said to me. But 8 years later,
he's still sitting there, you know. And he just gets...
He doesn't engage, though, to be fair, anymore. He doesn't get into Twitter fights.
No, we used to have a feature on this podcast at early days of his question
time. Question time. Before we move on to question time, great link. Is there anything yous lot want to discuss before we move on?
Yeah, Len's great show on Amazon Prime.
Oh, yeah, give it a plug.
Thank you very much, Nigel. Have you watched it?
I have watched it. Even good on day. Amazon Prime, I watched it.
That's a good boy.
I watched it on Prime.
People have.
Is that the best place to watch it? Is that the best place for you
to get it? If you've got it, yeah, you'll get the... I know, it sounds a really stupid thing to say about a cartoon, but you get the high-definition version.
How long is it?
Half hour.
Half hour, is it?
31 minutes long, yeah. If you haven't got Prime Video, you can watch it at canningtownlen.com. But it's getting a lot of
views. What's the reception been, Len?
Sorry, mate, I heard Eption.
What's the erection been? No, what's the reception been?
Very good. It's only had a couple of reviews, but they've all been 5 stars. So,
okay.
Yeah, good stuff.
Can you review it? What? So if I go onto Amazon,
yeah, please review it.
Can I go on and say I don't find him funny, but all the rest was? That sounds delightful.
You can write what you like.
Len, what is it? Is it literally just clips of podcasts that you've?
There's a bit of both. There's some room for me and Gonzo to have a piss about in normal Canningtown Len style. I sell it well, don't I? And there are some of my favourite podcasts, and the reason I say that is I don't commute anymore, and I don't listen to podcasts as much as I used to. But I do believe that listen to me saying this on a podcast, but they are better listening. People are starting to find them better listening than the media now. So it seemed great that to promote some podcasts that I like and give the media a kick in at the same time. But the good thing is...
So you don't like this podcast?
No, I do like the podcast, but I don't like the media. Not yet, you're not, no. Yeah. They'll give it time.
Say something funny first.
We've got to get some content that's a little bit amusing to put it on there. I forgot what I was going to say now. Everyone's a winner. It works out. My customers get featured in it. You know, people bought the portraits.
Yeah, so my mate was at me.
Which one was that? Was that Dave?
No, Jamie Ainsworth.
Oh, yeah, Jamie's in it. Yeah.
Even though your auditions are ageist, Len.
No, that's not true, really. I can't.
You were looking for a 26-year-old to a...
A young, entitled fan. But if we don't, you know, if no one volunteers, we just scrap the scene.
Was that, can I ask a question? The other bouncer, was that Gonzo with L?
No.
Oh, right.
No, that was Dale... And I think the other one was Mark.
Oh, right. So Mark was fun. Was the one talking. And there
was the one talking. Oh, was Mark it? Was the one glaring.
Yeah, glaring. It looked like...
Do you know what? They're actually, funny enough, I think they're actually both doormen.
Oh, right. No, that was funny, that bit. That Clinton Baxley.
You've had your plug now. It's not a commercial podcast. We're not... I'm going to give a plug for our friend Woody. Listener last week got in contact. So let me give you a little plug. There's a Twitter account called Bosch App, B-O-S-H App, A-double-P. They're offering, if you contact them, DM them, he's offering a free 24-hour trial of their stream. So contact Woody on Bosch App, friend of the podcast. If we've got nothing else,
hold up, move to Shep.
Go on then.
If you're not on Twitter, contact us through the Facebook page and we will direct you a non-Twitter route to get in touch with Woody.
Yeah, good. All right, time for this. It's Facebook Twitter question time. Now, I've had a request that before Nigel reads out the questions, that Len has to do, because lots of people are asking me, oh, you've got to get Len to do a David Gold and David Sullivan impression. I'd actually want you to read the whole thing out in David Gold.
Why?
Which I know you won't do.
For that again. On,
give them their
the butchers
little...
would be gone for dinner.
Come on. Give us the impression. We'll move on.
Well, you got to tell me who I'm doing. Who I've got to. What one I've. I'll read out one question.
Go on. You pick it, Nigel.
I'll have a short one. Let's have a look. Let's log on.
You want me to pick it?
Yeah, you pick it.
Hang on.
Start reading them out, Nigel.
Dave Sperry is nice short.
Go on, then. Away you go.
Why does the board sell a winger for 20 million, then bring another one in for 40 million? Is it just incompetency? Brady out.
There's one down.
Well, why don't you answer in David Gold? Well, you give the answer. Why do we do that?
I can't answer for... I mean, I might be able to do an impression of something, but I can't answer. Hang on. This is last week. So I'm sorry, I've read that out before. See? This is why you don't ask me.
I was just scrolling through thinking...
Oh, hilarious.
See? Hilarious. Keep me off of the question. I do the fucking drawing. I don't do the reading.
Yeah, yeah. Go on then. Go on then, Nigel. Away you go, mate.
Right. It's Facebook, Twitter question time. And I've got three questions on Twitter. So we'll start this week with Twitter. Greg Morgan. Hello, Greg. How you doing, mate?
Greg.
He says, I'm sure you'll be asking for Pod. He jumped in a bit early. He said, comment. So anyway, he said, please, can you blame Sean for my now annoying habit of correcting every commentator saying Balbuena and shouting Bobuana? I hate doing it, but I can't stop myself. Brady out.
Brady out.
Brady out.
Dan says, which is Dan 316043505H.
Funny surname.
Not 5H. That's 5 hours ago he did it. He said more than just a podcast. Now,
that's us.
We may skip this question, depending. But he's asked it, so I feel obliged to ask it. He says, what do we make of an ITK now charging for info, which is not theirs, and just leaked to them? Brady out.
Brady out. That?
First, before you do.
Right. Well, hold up, because Mark Reaper, otherwise known as WHU Kevin, says another popular podcast now is a paywall for leaking the club's dirty laundry. Any plans to do so? Should ITKs be paid for leaking club information? Go on, Sean.
Look, each their own, right? So if it works for them, and it's supply and demand in a capitalist world. If people are prepared to pay for something, they pay for it. And if not, this idea will fall flat in its face and no one will buy it. So, you know, it's all well and good people abusing people on Twitter and moaning about it. But you know what? It's like anything. It's like the 1495. If you don't like it, don't pay for it, right? Personally, I don't pay for podcasts. I also don't pay for The Athletic. I don't pay for The Sun. I don't pay for, what else, The Times. The culture of this country is stuff online. People don't, UK don't like playing things. In the US, it's very commonplace. I don't get these patron ideas. I know Hammer's Chat does it. I know West Ham Fan TV and lots of other. So X is no different to following the lot of them. I don't think we're going to do it here. I haven't asked all you guys. I don't think we're going to do it here. It's not a model we do. We don't really make any money out of this podcast. We earn a little bit in advertising that will sure earn does. Us a party. Well, no, we're going to divvy it up. We were just talking about that. I was talking about this, George.
Oh, I'm glad you said that,
George. It pays our expenses. It pays our monthly fees for this. What we do, and we make a little bit at the end of the season. But I tell you what, the last time we had a payout, it bought us a good night of drinks. And maybe we haven't had a payout for a little bit long. It'll be a bit more, but we're not talking thousands. Look,
we're talking hundreds.
We're not talking hundreds either. No, we're not talking hundreds. But look,
no, it doesn't cost us like it used to. It used to cost us.
Yeah, we pay, you know, our expenses are not a lot, but still. Anyway, going back to it, look, KUMB earn money from advertising. Clarence Hugh earn money from advertising. Hammer's Chat earn money from advertising, right, from YouTube. West Ham Fan TV earn money from advertising. So the advertising model people are paying for, will people want to pay for a patron? Well, some of them that are loyal to that brand will.
Good luck to them. If they get
good luck
do
to
it
them.
And they
you know, it's
do
up
it,
to them.
To them.
I think, does anyone else have a different view?
No, I think it's a good idea that these channels are doing getting an income stream. Because when they slide into my DMs, they can offer me cash rather than division. Is that a fair point? Or
yes,
that is a fair point.
I've covered this on my West Ham till I die article. It may surprise a few people. Quickly, because obviously now I found out 50,000 people read West Ham Till I Die, and we only got 8 listeners. Obviously, I'm not giving the game away. The way I see it is that Patreon is something I looked at, and it's a tough one because you think this day and age, especially with me, you know, my earnings are down 50%. I've done my accounts the other day and I'm down 50%. You think, how can I make more money? What do I enjoy doing? Because I don't enjoy my job anymore. I'll tell you that for nothing. I don't like dragging myself out at 7 o'clock in the morning to work on a building site. And I'm getting a bit old for it. You think, well, what do I know a lot about? Well, the only other thing I know about, apart from security systems, is West Ham. What can I do to make money? And it sort of fell down because I was thinking, well, I could make more history videos. My history videos have dried up. Why? Because I ain't got time to make them. Because Monday night is this, and it will always be this. And then the other nights, I've got work going on. I've got other stuff that I have to get done. See, then you think, well, what if you could be paid for it or whatever? But then you've got to be able to produce the content. And I think when you get paid for it, the pressure's even worse.
Yeah. I will say out of experience, I am reading a lot of comments. I do feel for people who feel they need to justify earning a bit of coin out of it. I really do. And when I hear people say, you know, if all goes well, we could, you know, it'll be our dream to do this full time.
Yeah.
You don't know that until you try.
No.
It might be your nightmare. It's fine for me. I'm a fully functioning drug addict. I know what it takes, but it can, when you've got to do things, it's a rather different.
And that's the thing. And for me, I wouldn't take something, and this is no criticism, by the way, of other people. I wouldn't take something I'm doing now and move that to a paywall. It would have to be something different, and it would have to be, you know, so if I was doing more videos where I was actually sitting and making them and putting stuff together, like the history stuff I do. But then
I mean, you've got a book in you though, mate, rather than something to put.
Yeah, a lot of people have said that, and that's probably the thing I will do, to be fair.
Where Patreon comes in, if you can't make a product of your skill, then you're asking for contribution. It's not real art patronage, as I know it. It's something a bit different.
Me personally, I did look at it. I did look at the Patreon thing, and I didn't feel I was good enough, to be fair, and like content-wise, to justify it. People have asked me, who's going to pay for it? And I pointed out, I think you'll be surprised. And actually, if you look at it, you only need a certain fraction of amount of people to cover
the expenses. And if it's a great success, then more than just a podcast, we'll be charging.
Yeah. So I was just about to announce that big announcement. More than just a podcast, are announcing their own Patreon. £1,000 per episode for the 8 listeners. That will bring in $8,000 a week, which we will all give up our work for $8,000 a week, and we'll make a podcast every day as long as we get £8,000 in a week. Are we agreed with that model, guys? I know we haven't discussed it before today.
So it seems about right.
$8,000 a week with our 8 listeners.
To be fair, but you're splitting that between the 5 of us, yeah?
Yeah, I know.
That's enough a week.
Yeah, is it?
Well,
A week, not a month. What?
Yeah,
that's good for you. That's only $52,000 a year for each of our 8 listeners.
Yeah,
$52,000. That's bloody good value.
Oh, so I could probably live on that.
Oh no, it's not. It's not. It's not. It's not. Yeah, it is. Yeah,
that's a joke.
I don't even think we could get £52 a week. Let alone
anyway, let's move on.
Good luck to him, I say. Anyway,
good luck. Good luck to you. Hope it works out.
Oh, right, sorry, yeah, we're on Facebook through a question time. As he says, throwing his phone down, waiting for you to go on to the next subject. Right, so I said, on Facebook. Goals are fun, people, and didn't we have fun? Premier League record breakers, and to do it v Spurs makes it all the sweeter. Can we dare to believe we'll get points against City and Liverpool? Question, if you could answer, which I'm interested to see if anyone frigging answered it. What comeback versus Spurs was the sweeter? Wembley in the League Cup or yesterday? I said, see you all on the other side. Quickly, what comeback was sweeter? Ignore the fact that yesterday's was only yesterday, so it's fresh in the memory.
The Wembley one we won, didn't we?
Yes.
Well, there you go. That was great. I'll tell you what, though, it'd have been nice to
be were there, team. Weren't we?
And yeah, it would have been
who
nice.
Who was I there with?
I think you was there with George? Me, Sean.
Was it you?
I didn't go.
Sean, I'll just point out.
Did you want to go?
Nigel.
It was the only time we've sat next to each other or stood next to each other at a football game.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, with your German weird friend.
And you hated it, didn't you, Nigel?
Well, all I want to say is it's never been repeated. Yeah, Mr. Meerkat. Yeah. So I'd like to thank you, Sean, because obviously there was a German West Ham fan standing next to me who I'd never met. EB, who I'm now bloody really good friends with, thanks to that game, because at least I had someone worthwhile talking to.
Just to close off this subject, there is one issue, and that is, and people have been saying that, COVID has stolen us from a fan celebration at the Spurs Stadium. And they're right, you know, that we would have had 3,000 there who would have celebrated like nobody's business and gone absolutely mental. And that's been robbed from
us. But you would have been in a box with Pat Jennings, Sean.
Yeah,
so,
I would have celebrated with Pat Jennings.
Don't diss it up. You could have got his autograph for me while you're there, though. So, I've on the upside,
got it. Too nice, you still got it. Pat.
Yeah, do you remember that? Yeah.
COVID.
Anyway, COVID. Jazz Winderupel goes first. How you doing, Jazzy Jazz?
Hello, Jazz.
He says, yesterday was more the sweet result for me. Didn't I tell everyone he did in January 2020 in every week since on Amos chat where he goes, keep the faith in Moyes. He's a big backroom Moyes like I am. After losing to Man City 2-0, there was a huge outcry. He says, judge at the end of the season and can fans stop throwing their knickers out of the window every time we lose. With something good starting to happen on the pitch slowly, Moyes will turn us into a well-organised and hungry, dynamic, hard-to-beat team. He then goes on to say, like me and Nigel, is there anyone else sensible out there who will heed our advice? There you go.
Thanks. Start saying special. Europe, here we come.
Yeah. Well,
actually, if you think back to the greatest episode of More Than Just a Podcast ever, with me, Stel... And
that's bollocks. It's in no praise. It's no
actually,
praise.
No, some men. People. Listen, a lot of people compare that to blind faith playing Hyde Park.
It's yeah, that's just Stell and his cronies, though, mate.
No, listen.
Stell ain't got any cronies.
But me and Stell were very positive, and I did say that we could win three in a row, of which yesterday was a draw, I know that, but you know.
Felt like a win.
Stell's out in Cyprus on a beach in 30 degree heat.
He can still listen to it. And it was the greatest podcast ever. I'm sorry.
Self-praise is no praise.
That's true. It's not my words.
The best podcast ever was the drunk episode of More Than Just a Podcast.
Yeah, I agree with that. Well said, George.
Thank you. Which one was that, though?
Was that an away day one?
Portsmouth. No, Portsmouth?
No, actually it was. We got back from an away game. And we decided that instead of going to our respective houses, we would go back to John's living room, which was our studio. And we were very drunk and we did a podcast.
Was that in the days of one mic where you had to pass it around?
I think we stretched to a mic each at that point. But,
We haven't done an outside broadcast for a long time, have we?
No one goes outside anymore.
There's no football going on, John.
Oh, is that? I wonder why.
Evian Turner says that was an unbelievable comeback. I think he should apologise to his neighbours for the scream I let out at the Lanzini goal. So glad I did not shut the game off despite feeling tempted to go and watch a movie on the other side at one point. I think this team has much different level of confidence and positive mentality. He goes on. He thinks we can get something out of Man City and Liverpool, especially the volatility of the results recently. He's got an open question, but we'd love to hear Sean's take. Where do you fit Benrahma in the starting 11? Who's partnering him in midfield and who makes way? So go on, Sean, well, just you. Go on.
So what I got told, club sources, blah, 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 was David Moyes sees him either on the left and sort of taking the position that Afa Masuaku has, or in the middle taking Pablo Fornals' position. But, hey, let's go for the – let's try him up front. And, you know, if Antonio needs a rest and Allaire is not completely fit, let's throw him up front and see if he's the next big striker for West Ham. So I think he can play anywhere across the front, if I'm honest with you. For Brentford, he played centre midfield and right wing as well. So I think he can play anywhere up front. Don't put him in defence. Be a rubbish centre back. So don't play him right back, left back, or centre back, or in goal, or defensive midfield. But anywhere else, yeah.
Oh, well, thanks for that, Sean. Very quick. Auntie Penn, yesterday was perfect, she says. Showed skill, class and determination. For me, I think it'll be difficult against City, but Liverpool, I reckon we're in with a shout. She loves Adrian, but think a couple could get past him. Liverpool so far are not the force they were last season. All in all, a good weekend. She put on Torquay 1-2. There you go, because she does like a bit of Torquay as well.
Cheers, Auntie Penn.
Whatever. What's Torquay's nickname? It ain't the sea. Is it the Seagulls, or is it?
Don't know.
Well, there's enough for you to Google it. But, yeah. Anyway. Next up, it's old Belinda Kakaikaikaikaikaitis. Hello, matey peeps, he says. Well, yesterday was a sweeter. Son nearly crying on the post-match interviews. And she, great link, because from Son, she then goes to Rice. Looking stunned, made my afternoon. Didn't Declan Rice have a good interview after, didn't it?
Yeah.
I haven't seen that.
I think we should, the quicker we come out and make him club captain, and Noble should, if Noble should do the honourable thing and stand aside for me. She's put, please for Lanzini, he needed the goal. Confidence back. Another one, thinks we can get something against Liverpool with Van Dijk's injury, which she said Pickford should have been sent off. Well, cast a cloud. She loves Adrian, but he's a bit suspect. Man City, she's not sure. But I'm sure, like we all are, actually looking forward to games. Not a normal feeling in recent seasons. Love the show. Do you watch West Ham clips on Twitter and the alternative commentary they put out?
Yeah.
I did.
No, I don't.
We do, but Len don't like him, do you, Len?
No, I'm with Len.
The voice gives me the creeps.
Yeah, I don't like
it. I can't find
him amusing.
Do you know what? If it was a proper voice, yeah?
Yeah, it would be good.
It'd be good. But
they are that I haven't listened to.
Yeah, this computerised voice, I don't get it. It don't make me laugh.
No, it can't make you laugh. It's not human.
The goals.
Well, I've seen a clip, I think. The best one was the French commentary. There's a clip now with all the foreigners having a crack at the goal. And the Argentinian one's bloody hilarious. The Argentina commentator starts singing a song about Lanzini after the goal's gone in Spanish, obviously. Steve Lyons.
I couldn't open the American one.
No, because they deleted it. The one I said, I've got another one I'll send you. It's got all different foreigners commentating on Lanzini's goal.
Fancy Dan's.
Well, them as well, yeah.
Don't say that word. That's derogatory.
And I don't know if we fancy him, but anyway. Steve Lyons, he's lined it up well. He says, for me, yesterday's result was just perfect, as we should have been absolutely dead and buried. He switched his phone off due to the abuse he was receiving from his Spurs supporting mates. But he didn't go and watch a film. Needless to say, when we got one back, he had an inkling Spurs would shit themselves and fall apart. And fall apart they did. It's nice to get a win over them shithouses. Oh, that language. But the draw actually feels like a bigger achievement, seeing the disappointment in their players. But more importantly, their gobshite fans. Thanks for the pod, but it needs to be 3 hours plus, so it takes me to the end of my delivery. I ain't going to wrap them, mate. We're keeping them down. All the best, boys. Brady out.
Brady out.
Yeah.
Getting a bit of leverage, I think, Brady out now.
Yeah.
I think we're finally making an impact after a couple of years. Of
it could happen tomorrow.
It could. It's easy done. Nicholas Harvey, evening, gents. 3-0 and Spurs fucked it up. That was so West Ham. Some shocking defending. 3 down 15 minutes. He's not going to moan as the players didn't give up and kept going, and they didn't go and watch a film. And this definitely felt sweeter than at Wembley. He's disappointed Moyes didn't do the knee slide down a touchline past Mourinho. But the French commentary for Lanzini's equaliser is superb. There you go. Questions. Will the last minute goal give Lanzi confidence a boost? Will we start to see him to play? Yeah, go on, George.
I hope so.
I hope so, yeah. We all know what he's capable of. He had a horrible injury. It took him a long time to get back. And hopefully that pushes him on and gives him the confidence to get back to where he was, because he was a top player.
Yeah, oh, well, let's hope so. He said, now it looks like Antonio's hamstring's looking a bit iffy again, despite CNH denials, Sean. Who's going to play up front versus City?
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great, too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Benrahma.
Benrahma. Brady out.
Brady out.
Barry Meikle. Not Mickle. He says, as to be the League Cup game. He answered the question. It threw me. As to be the League Cup game, because we won, surely. Yesterday was beautiful. He's got a question for yous, guys. With a prominent West Ham podcast going down subscription-only model route this week, has more than just a podcast ever considered it? Have you ever considered it, lads?
No.
No, right.
We've never considered it to be a serious or professional enough thing to charge for.
No.
No. Here you go. And we're, being only having 8 listeners, there's a very small market, you know.
Right, yeah. Well, he said, I'd be curious to know the number of weekly listeners to this pod gets. If you can't, won't tell us at least. Tell me how many are in Canada. I might start my own. In Canada, is it?
I couldn't tell you. Not that I won't tell you. I just couldn't tell you.
Yeah.
We can never understand the figures. But you can tell demographic, can't you? You can tell what areas are listening. Someone should be able to tell how many people are listening in Canada.
Yeah, we get those stats. We've done it before in which country, so I'll find those out for next week.
All right, brilliant. It's the soul-singing superstar of South Hockenden, Michael Levy Jr. Hi, all. Is CTL in the starting 11? He is. He's in his natural position at the back. The new project, that's why we're a bit shaky. The new project looks brilliant, mate. You're listening,
Len? Thank you very much. Yeah, thank you.
There you go. It is brilliant, people. Make sure you watch it, because even though it says season one, episode one, am I speaking out of line if I say you've only made one?
Well, yeah, at the moment, I'm halfway through number two.
Right, looking forward to
not
it.
Not halfway.
Any comeback against Spurs is a delight. It says it's all the sweeter, so they are absolutely deluded. He's gone hashtag Spurs, hashtag Bryce Myers.
27 Canadian listeners in the last 7 days. There you go.
Wow.
Oi, 27? Whoa, with the whole magic of eight listeners. Don't alienate people. Whoa there.
People are going to want to sponsor us now.
We don't tell people how the sausages are made. You know that, George.
Yeah, maybe we should go down that route and get sponsorship.
What? And our sausages are made?
Well, that's what ACAS are supposed to do. ACAS are supposed to seek sponsors on our behalf if they feel our podcast has a big enough listenership. So there you go.
Do you know what? Last week, I don't know if you listened back, we were being sponsored by Super 6, which I thought was hilarious. It was a week before we were being, all the adverts were Super 6. How are you doing in Super 6?
Well, we're not covering that this week because we've got a lot on. Yeah.
Anyway.
We have had absolutely everything. If Michael Levy Jr., the soul singing superstar, Sap Ockenden continues. We've had absolutely everything change in the last 5 years. Own players, manager, director of football, blah, 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 come round. We are like the naughty kid acting up from a broken home with no boundaries. What a great analogy. Moisey's the kind of stepdad taking us fishing and teaching us to shave like a man. There you go. Wouldn't take me fishing, mate. Boring as hell. Seriously, though, he says we need stability and I can't subscribe to this boring football label that he's branded with. Too true. We're having more shots than ever. We've scored 10 goals in the last 3 games and we're more organised at the back. He has put that in brackets generally. He says, we've stuck by managers in the past. Too many fans in this social media age are too all quick to cry wolf. Before social media, we didn't know when transfer negotiations are stalled. Either we saw the player holding up the shirt or we didn't. And we didn't go and watch movies during a game either.
No.
Thanks for that. We are spoiled by 24-hour updates. He says, sorry for the long coming, but he loves the show, guys, and thank you. Bless you there, Michael Levy.
And Michael Levy Jr., if you are a massive fan of the show, just by getting a portrait, you can appear in it, if you didn't know. Yeah. Anyway.
What's this whole thing where they're talking about movies now? Are you just adding that in?
You are so slow, Sean.
Sean, you were watching a film rather than watching the football. That's this tonight's joke.
We've got a title for the podcast already. You ain't even got to ask it. Marvin Subudu. Evening all, he says. Been a while since I've messaged, but thought I'd better social distance, he says with wink. Where does Ben Rama fit in? Well, Sean thinks he's up front or wide right or in midfield. Or on the bench watching a film. Would you start him the next game? Well, I wouldn't. Seems the obvious spot, swapping him for Nels, but that would be harsh. I would bench the new guy for now, given how well we are playing. P.S. Lanzini, all is forgiven. Get back to your best, please. Thank you, Marv. Neil Hodgkinson. Evening, chaps.
Evening.
I think yesterday was better. Obviously, he's choosing now. So that's another vote for yesterday. I think that's 2-2 at the moment. He's still buzzing. He's watched the Lanzini goal 30 times and winding up the Spurs fans. Fantastic. Wow, they have been getting lemon. P.S. I hope you're not going to start charging your fantastic ITK knowledge like the other lot, Sean. We'll talk about blow smoke up his ass, bleeding hell, Neil. Fantastic ITK knowledge. I'll give you a tip how it works is people tell them stuff and they repeat it. Yeah? It's as simple as that.
I'll tell you what, on transfer deadline day when it looked like Ben Rama was going pear-shaped, the grief I got, you know, there's 90 minutes left and going, you put a picture up with eyes and now it's not happening. Oh no, did I really put a picture up with eyes? Jesus, you should sue me for that. Come on, get a life. Jesus.
or Sean.
Your WhatsApp group's got to be worth a few quid, Sean. You get all the info.
Yeah, there you go. There's
give
a model
a shit about it.
What's that?
Charge subscription to a WhatsApp group where you give away.
Lanzini! Oh, it's incredible! Sorry. Sorry.
I did inform a couple of my friends that I'm going to start charging 50p for updates.
Okay, yeah.
I'm not WhatsApp got any friends like that I pass any information on to.
Sean doesn't need the money. He earns about 15 grand a week from that advert site.
That's true. Yeah. Dominic Schreiber, if you remember, who were good at kitchens. I went to Mr. Schreiber's house and alarmed his house up, which was funny. I did make a joke about kitchens, and they went, yeah, but apparently he'd sold it to MFI years before. Arsenal and Aston Villa are the only teams to have let in less goals than West Ham. All teams seem to be struggling this season and wonder if this be due to no fans in the stadium. Quickly, boys, some one of you shout out. Do you think having no fans in the stadium means more goals?
I do.
Yes.
What's the theory, though?
I think players are being more expressive. And I don't mean that in the attacking sense. I mean that in the defensive sense. And I think the pressure of having fans in the ground makes you probably concentrate more and
more cautious.
More cautious and more, wary of mistakes. And I don't think that's there at the minute. And I think defenders are making mistakes. And I think attackers are taking advantage of it. That's my theory.
That's a good... I like that. Didn't work in the championship this week because my goals bet didn't come in. I backed 4 nil-nil draws out of 7 games for my both teams to score coupon. So, it shows you all I know about football, didn't it? Yeah. I met Ted Baker once as well. I went to his house to do work.
Ted Baker.
Well, yeah, but I didn't know he weren't actually called Ted Baker. To be fair, the bloke who gave me the job said, go round there, the bloke's Ted Baker, owns Ted Baker shops. So I knocked on the door and said,
Mr. Baker.
Yeah, is this Mr. Baker's act? He had a male au pair. I thought that was a bit weird and creepy. Australian geezer, a surfer dude by the looks of him. His missus was stunning. She was like an ex-model. And she had a male au pair and a nanny.
Well, yeah, maybe she employed him.
Well, yeah. No, I think the marriage went south anyway.
Do you know why his real name's Ray Kelvin? Do you know why he called it Ted Baker?
Didn't he buy it?
No.
Oh, right, go on.
Because he didn't actually want to be the face of a fashion brand. He didn't want to be famous. Yeah. So he called it Ted Baker instead of his real name, which is Ray Kelvin.
To be fair, he was a nice enough bloke to me. I spent a couple of days working in his house and whatever. And he had a nice house.
He's from East London, isn't he? Is that the guy? It might be Ted Baker you used to know. It could have been Paul Smith.
I didn't know. I didn't really get that friendly with him. His missus was right. She made a nice cup of tea anyway. Yesterday, that weren't euphemisms, by the way, people. She did actually make me a cup of tea. Martin Row your boat, or Row Sports, depending on what side of the fence you are. He said yesterday was sweeter because it showed our progression as a team. Another vote for yesterday. Yesterday's winning now. He loved the team spirit, including the subs joined in the celebration. I thought that was good, actually.
That was great. That
few
bit,
kids
yeah.
with coats on.
And David Moyes bouncing around.
Yeah, he did his dad dancing.
David Platt, Pleat thing, didn't he?
David Pleat, yes. Against, when Luton stayed up, was that against Man City?
Oh, yeah.
He was dancing around on the pitch like a granddad.
Did you notice that Yama was the big man challenging Bale when he missed? We did. Do you agree with Jamie Carragher? He says that Moyes should be given time to build a team and the club like he did at Everton. I do agree.
Well, yeah, we do, but it's not 10 years ago. I think if we would have got Moyes when we got Bilic, that could have happened, couldn't it? But, you know, things change quickly, don't they?
Do, what, when we let Bilic go the first time, was you saying, like, in, or instead I of Bilic, got Moyes then?
Instead of Bilic. I think he was the original. But then again, he was offered the Man United job, so that wouldn't have worked out either. Don't think that Man United job helped him out, really. But from what I know and from what I understand, he's a very hands-on manager. He likes to be, he's old-fashioned, and he likes to sort of be in control of the whole club, which is a good thing.
There's a few people that are that age that were hands-on and old-fashioned that are now doing time, so we don't need none of that, thank you very much. Mark Miroslav.
How's about?
Yes. Good evening. Very polite, he says. He watched the first half yesterday and decided it would be better to go to bed since it was late. I think we can forgive Mark. He didn't go and watch a film. I think he's in Australia or something. And I had an early start, he said. I was exchanging the views with a good friend in the Estates who was watching the game. My comment before retiring for the night was that we were playing well. We appeared to have confidence. To wake up to learn we had drawn was unbelievable and definitely made my day. The strength of character shown by the old team was amazing. Subs were made at the right time. Not sure about that. But anyway, for the right reason. But Moyes shows why he's the manager picking the team and we're doing a podcast. All comebacks have their value and each brings moments to savour. This is special because it was the destructive power of Spurs and the incisive way they cut through our defence, blah, 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 blah. Yet we proved to be far more than sacrificial lambs and rammed the form down their throats. He thinks we could get points from Liverpool and City, but maybe just the one or maybe all six. And he will watch both games without going to see a film, just to see how many points we get. There you go. Ed Hughes, Len.
Loves a bit of squirrel, he does. Loves
evening,
it.
He says. Think yesterday.
Even in it.
Heroic saved question time from a tirade of anti-board sentiment. I do not understand our transfer policy. Identify we have a weak defence, he says, and then say we have too many wingers. Send Anderson out on loan. Say we want hungry, proven championships, but sell Dean Garnett for 18 million to fund defensive players and then spend it on Ben Rama. And get Dawson and Kuvao in for peanuts. He's baffled. Are you baffled?
I agree.
But goals are fun. then Mark Miroslav Sorgo chips up, says, in the next windows, we need to find a long-term keeper and centre-half. There you go. See, look. I love it when people discuss it between themselves, clogging up the timeline. Brilliant.
I see. Didn't Jack Butland go for quite cheap somewhere?
Was he left Stoke, was he?
Yeah, I think he went somewhere quite cheap.
He did,
I think
yeah.
He could have been was it Palace or somewhere.
But don't we hope that Anang is going to be our next keeper?
She's a bit old, mate, to be fair.
Who's the other one? Nathan Trott. Nathan Trott and Joseph Anang are the two prospects.
You
want to
play your nan?
He didn't get it, Nigel. I don't know. You tell me, Sean. Are they?
We've bought a centre back, haven't we? We've agreed this Danish centre back that's Frank Alves or something that's going to join us in January. We bought him for £1.2 million. He signed a pre contract with some.
He can't play in goal though, can he?
He's not. He's a centre back. But I'm saying, I think we've got two. Obviously, how long contract has Fabianski got?
A couple of years, isn't it?
Yeah, and then we've got an option for another one, I think. Yeah. And goalkeepers can go on. But I'm hoping by the time he retires, then we've got either Joseph Anang or Nathan Trott is ready to
step up.
All right,
quickly then. Last goalkeeper to play regular in our first team that come through the academy.
Mervyn Day.
See, you're too quick. Sorry. It's better when Sean goes.
Oh, Sean!
I was going to say David Martin. I thought maybe David Martin.
David Martin.
How can you come up with David Martin?
I thought he might have started our academy and then left and come back again.
Stephen Bywater don't count, Nigel. No.
Well, we bought him from Rochdale as a 16-year-old. He did go into our academy.
Good point. Well made, George. Yeah, he counts. Yeah, well done.
But did he play regular?
Yeah, he was in for a while. The final, wasn't he?
Oh, yeah.
All right, well, you've been outmaneuvered in your own game.
Well, not really, because I did caveat it by saying play regular. I'm not sure he was a regular, but anyway.
So you're one of these people. You get caught out, and you're a bad loser.
I've not been caught out. We'll prove it later.
I'm a bad loser. There's no winning or losing, Sean. It's the taking part.
Oh, dear. Davy Jones, old Ziggy Stardust.
No, Dave.
Evening all. He said another great episode of the West Ham saga. Yesterday was better. Well, yesterday's the winner now, as the Spuds looked like they were scoring for fun, and Bell missing a sitter to seal the cake was icing on the cake. Animation, Len.
Oh, okay.
How hard would it be to pitch an idea like Crystal Tips and Alistair to a channel, as it must have had something with over 50 odd episodes with no dialogue?
Brady out. Very hard. The pitching process isn't. It's expensive and not worth it anymore. Very hard is the answer.
Says the man who's now got an animated program on Amazon Prime.
There you go. Yeah, but I've got previous of Amazon.
Oh, that is true. Yeah.
When you pitch it to Netflix, it costs £1,500. And there's an intermediary. So I have to pay someone else to do the job that I do. So I'm never putting anything on Netflix. That'd be ridiculous. But his answer is quite difficult.
I mean, the only thing I'd say is to find it, I typed in Canning Town.
And it came up, did it?
Yeah, it came up, obviously, with your film. Two episodes of the film on there.
Yeah, Extra Time as well. Have you seen Extra Time?
Oh, I've not seen Extra Time. No.
Well, you should have. You're in it.
Oh, I'll have to watch it then.
I think you are anyway.
All right, I'll have a look.
It's good because it is there's 3/4 of an hour of stuff that didn't make the timeline, like the promotion, how Tonka got his nickname, a lot of stuff.
All right.
Watch that tonight.
Well, no, but I'll save it probably next week, and when I wake up at 4:00 in the morning.
Well, it'll be bedtime by the time we've done this.
And, well, we're nearly there. Don't worry.
I'm actually, while the question's going, I'm watching the football sketch show.
How are you?
Oh, good.
A film worth watching, Sean.
I'm going to start eating my dinner in a minute.
And there's a dinner question coming up, George.
Yes. Well, can we get there? Because I'm about to go for my dinner.
Gary Prince says, even though I was at Wembley, yesterday was better. He was at Wembley, Sean. Did we see him? I don't think we did.
I can't remember.
Yeah. What now for Lanzini? Will Moyes be bold and start matches and with more attacking option? Ryan Darlow. Oh. Generally couldn't stop smiling today. Geezer at work, Spurs fan, reckoned it was a shit goal. Bless his little cotton socks. Paul Sanders at the Colonel says, I say Wembley was sweeter because we won and put Spurs out of the cup. He's still buzzing though. And Matty Kemp from Spandau Ballet says, great comeback. I'm sure Moore's popped home and was watching the game on Sky, barking orders to Stuart Pearce, but Pearce was too busy watching a film to notice. hold up. Dear, oh dear. I lost me thread. Sorry about this, people.
That's all right.
Yeah, no rush.
Yeah, all right. Right.
I think I've done Matthew Kemp's portrait last week. Him and his dad. If he's the same guy.
I'll tell you what, Len, you could cut this last couple of minutes out and make a little clip.
Why don't you
put
this on Amazon Prime?
This is gold. Yeah. This is absolute gold, mate.
Yeah. All right, calm down. Here, here, get a bit fractious out in Surrey. Mate Marion pops up. Oh, boy, oh, he says. The Spurs game just about summed up why we are West Ham supporters. He's got a question for Nigel, which is obviously me. Right, here we go. Which do you prefer, the key-operated multi-point locking system or the rim automatic dead latch with a key locking handle?
Wow.
I'll tell you what, the key-operated multi-point locking system is better if you don't want to get locked out. People with UPVC doors years ago kept me busy by leaving their keys on the inside, walking out the door and shutting it, leaving the key stuck on the inside. Now, if you've got a UPVC door with a key stuck on the inside, means if you've got a key in your hand, it won't work because you can only have a key on one side of the door with these Euro profile cylinders. So thank you very much. Bob's your uncle, Fanny's your aunt. I pop in, I slip your door open in 30 seconds and I used to charge you 50 quid for the honour. So, but they are better to people. They are better. And they're better for old people as well. Make sure that. Rather than the automatic dead latch with a key locking handle, because as soon as you shut the door's locked. And if you forget your keys inside, you have to be ripped off by the likes of myself. Question for Len, which is the best cartoonist pen? Is it the Rotring Radiograph Technical Pen or the Stadler Pigment Fine Liner? He's missed the tech.
Well, it's more digital these days. I've used both of them, though, previously in just sort of art boards. I haven't really got an answer.
Oh, right.
Used to like a Pentel or a Sharpie, but it's all digital these days. So, two great pens, though. Marvellous pens.
Pens go. Papermate. Papermate. Used to make
I've got a Papermate in my hand now.
Is it?
A Papermate Inkjoy. They're a lovely.
Oh, right.
Yeah. When actually doing some storyboard art, where I had to hand draw storyboards when you could only. Because. Some brands will only let you pitch with bold and copy. You can't get too close to the final. And I do like a bit of biro and watercolour when that happens.
I like a biro. It's good for shading in the block capitals on a new
lovely paper. For cross-hatching.
Yeah,
lovely cross-hatching in biro.
Question for John.
Hello, sorry.
He's still there.
Yeah. You ready?
Yeah.
Was George's best friend at school the dinner lady?
No.
No.
He wasn't. No. He does like his dinner.
He does like his dinner.
I don't blame him, though. It is like getting late.
Oh, dear. We're cracking on. Don't worry. Question for Benny the Bull.
That's you, Sean. Is he still here?
He's watching.
Yeah, I'm watching your film.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's quite good.
Come on, keep up, Benny.
That's quite good.
What was the point of giving 10% discount on the club shop when it could not be used on the recent price reduced away shirt?
What am I in charge of retail all of a sudden?
It's a question, isn't it? He's asking you a question. Be polite and answer it.
He doesn't know.
Well, I'll tell you what. If you pay me a pound, I'll tell you over WhatsApp.
That could be the new title of the podcast. Pay me a pound, and I'll tell you.
What was the name of that character in Carry On Camping who charged a pound? The Peter Butworth character. I can't think of his name. Eugene something, wasn't it?
The man on the gate.
Yeah. Pound. Oh, no. Free for a pound.
Yeah. DJ Russ just put lots of fun with an X. There you go.
He didn't go. He doesn't go to away games, does he? He's only allowed to go to home games.
Well, no, he can go.
Can he?
Yeah, but obviously when fans are allowed back.
Oh, yeah. But at the moment, he gets to see the home games because he plays the bubbles. Right.
Yeah,
he's not allowed as a member of staff.
Tottenham are not going to play bubbles just for us.
Well, I don't know. He could go, I'm staff, you know. I'm here in case we have to blow a few bubbles, you know.
I'm sure Spurs have got a button monkey that can go bubbles.
Oh, that's a bit unfair to DJ. There's so much more than pressing a button.
I've been on a YouTube channel on Orange United when he's been live from the game and I watched him and he pressed the button and bubbles went. Played. And I keep telling him, play the B side. It's so much better.
Oh, he gets the sack for that. Not that they pay him anyway, but there you go.
Well, he does it for free.
I believe so. Maybe I'm speaking out of turn, but
Russ, mate. What are you doing?
Russ. Russ, this, we've already said this is a capitalist generation.
Dear.
You stamp into that office, to Brady's office, and you demand some money. I understood
he did it for free, but maybe I'm speaking out of turn, so ask him.
We've opened a tin of beans here. Worms, sorry.
Well, it's not last, actually. It's least, all right? It's Dodsy. He goes, all right, my handsome, how you's doing? He says he's in level 2 lockdown, which could be worse. You could be Welsh in total lockdown. Canary Wolf, I tell you what, ghost town. 8:45 walking through Canary Wharf out of the tube station. Normally you get 500 people at like a minute or whatever. 2 people come out of Canary Wharf tube station.
That's like that at 2 o'clock in the afternoon, though.
Yeah. Blame Maid Marion, stay safe. He says, wash your hands and do the yokey cokey. He says he's got questions. Suppose for a change, I better answer your questions, Nigel. Then I'll get onto mine. Not so much a comeback, but being in the way end at Spuds, when he has to go different. You ain't answered the question, Dodsy. Dodsy asked a question, what was better, Wembley or this one? He goes and says, Ravel Morrison run the length of the pitch, the score was pretty special. Yeah, well, mate, I was there when we won 4-1.
That was a good one.
Yeah, and old Stevie Jones scored. I was sitting in the director's box next to Martin Peters when Ian White scored for us. Mate, that was good. That was good. Got in trouble, and my Tottenham mate was not impressed. Bless him. Wembley over last night, all day long. You can't beat a family West Ham day out at a final. he thinks we can get a point or two out of the games coming up, but the fairy tale of the last 3 games has got to end sometime because we are West Ham. Right, my beauties. What the hell was going on the last week's podcast? Why was Nigel whispering all the way through the podcast last week? Is he scared of his wife or something? Yes, is the answer. There you go. Also, who has a phone that rings like ring, 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 ring in the middle of a podcast unless you're back in the 60s and 70s, Nigel?
Is that yours?
Was it? My phone does ring like that. Yeah, actually.
Yeah, I think it must be.
It's a phone. It rings. What do you want it to bloody do?
I know. Do play CTU or something.
Like some crappy 24-hour thing.
Nigel, focus. Question.
Even the podcast West Ham Way are starting to charge, Sean. What are your views? Well, we got that. He's on the fence. Go for it, Len, on this way forward. Do you think you'll ever charge? Well, we might start charging out of town as Dodds. I did see this today. It's Big Fat Sam's birthday today. What present would you get?
Oh, is it?
Yes.
Oh, I should have put his portrait out.
Should have done, mate.
I didn't know it was his birthday.
Bloody
bubble. Oh, sure, that would have gone down lovely.
Isn't it? Yeah. You could have had him doing that in the bath, blowing out birthday candles.
Yeah.
Hey?
That would have been good,
wouldn't it? That would have been good, wouldn't it? What would I? What present would I give him? That plane ticket I asked that taxi driver to take him 2 years ago so he could sod off out of the country. Why was Allah not even on the bench, Sean?
Who?
Allah.
Allaire.
Oh, wasn't he on the bench?
He didn't make the bench. He missed the bench because he had a slight knock, but he'd be back next week.
Do you agree with me, Nigel? We need a plan B. Plan A looks very good at the moment, but we definitely need a plan B. Not really bothered, to be fair, Dodds. What a fantastic and humbling touch for side Ben Rama to donate the money owed to him. Shows real class in my view, and hopefully shows the kind of person he is. As always, Brady out.
Quick thing on that. Didn't donate all of it, but there was a £500,000 loyalty bonus. And to get the deal done, he suggested to the director of football and the coach that he donate a proportion of the money to 100 staff that helped him in his development at Brentford. So, yeah, well done to the chap.
So, he donated some of the money that they were trying to welch him.
Yeah. Yeah, he did. Yeah.
To get the deal through.
Correct.
And he gets, so the loyalty bonus that he wanted for leaving.
Yeah.
Loyalty and leaving.
Hang on a minute.
He never asked him to leave. Is that
Let's
the...
be fair to him. He was promised £500,000 to stay to the end of the summer transfer window, which ended a few weeks ago. it didn't include the domestic window.
Oh, my Lord. There you go. You made it better. There you go. Well done. The man's got a big heart. I did like the picture with his mum. Well done. I hope he thinks, but please, when you ask for a loyalty bonus to be paid up when you're leaving the club, there's a problem there. One more to go. Last one, people. You can all breathe a sigh of relief.
Woo!
It's been sent to me. Oh, where did he send it?
It's got to be Belinda, isn't it?
No, we've had Belinda. She's been and gone.
Sorry, I've switched off. I was watching Len's programme.
Nige, I read this at 3-0 and just remembered it. Shows why we can never abandon all hope. Brilliant. What's he talking about? Oh, yeah, my tweet. Shit happens. Clink the fault. We scored 3 at Wembley half time. Andrew Hall, fellow Surrey Illumini for you three boys. Hello, chaps. He said he can't believe we got a point yesterday. Remarkable finish. Incredible game of football. We all watched the game with the Surrey Hammers in Epsom. Is that near you, boys?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Surrey Hammers, you lads, not part of the game?
We're not part of the Surrey Hammers. I know there's a Guildford Hammers. We don't know about the membership of that, but if you send it, I mean, George is Surrey Hills. John, are you going to be Surrey Hills? Does that count as Surrey Hills?
Yes, I will be when I go, yeah.
So a little bit far away from Epsom, but hey, you know. Maybe you two could start the Surrey Hills Hammers.
Maybe.
There you go. Yeah. Well, okay. He watched it with the Surrey Hammers in Emerson. He's anyway, socially distancing, of course. But the celebrations when Lanzini scored were amazing and proved Moyes has instilled some great team spirit amongst that group of lads. Never say die attitude. And he said, hopefully more of the same against Man City. Brady out!
Yeah. Start something special. We're going to qualify for Europe.
Andrew Hall, Dawkin, Surrey. And
Dawkin
as
boy.
Per usual, we say... Hello, Brenda.
Hello, Brenda.
Hello, okay. Brenda.
Right, we're going to do predictions, yeah?
Yeah.
Let me just play this. Just humorous one last time.
Lanzini! Oh, it's incredible! What a goal from Manuel Lanzini and the most unlikely of comebacks from West Ham United has happened!
Well, there you go. Predictions. John, for Man City.
Hello. Let's go really positive and let's have a 2-2 draw.
Mm, love it. Len.
I like the sound of that 2-2 draw. That sounds doable.
No.
You have to pick something else.
Yeah, that's the rules.
Real then.
Well, you could join me in a WhatsApp group and pay me £1 and forget about it. Yeah?
George. Well, George may have gone for his dinner.
He's having his dinner.
do we know Nigel. What he's dinner?
No.
This was Nigel. The best. This was the best one.
Nigel. I think that was done some time ago.
Oh, was it?
Nigel, predictions. Yeah,
against Man City, lose 4-0.
I believe we'll win 1-0. One last call for George to see if he's here. Nope, he's gone for dinner. Right, Len, it's goodbye from me. Len has been...
3 of charge.
John has been
happy to be here.
George has been, well, he's gone for dinner. And Nigel has been,
I mean, me said,
come on, you irons. Bye.
Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast. Bobby Moore, more than just a podcast.
Lanzini! Oh, it's What a goal from Manuel Lanzini, and the most unlikely of comebacks from West Ham United has...
If there's one thing that my family and friends know me for, it's being an amazing gift giver. I owe it all to Celebrations Passport from 1-800-Flowers.com, my one-stop shopping site that has amazing gifts for every occasion. With Celebrations Passport, I get free shipping on thousands of amazing gifts. And the more gifts I give, the more perks and rewards I earn. To learn more and take your gift giving to the next level, visit 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST. That's 1-800-Flowers.com/ACAST.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.